A Wisconsin boy convicted of first-degree intentional homicide for a crime committed while he was 14 will likely spend the rest of his days in prison with no possibility of parole. The Wisconsin Supreme Court recently upheld a sentence for Omer Ninnem, now 27 years old, for his part in throwing 13-year-old Zong Vang off of a hospital parking ramp back in 1998. Local attorney Jack McGee contrasts the differing viewpoints in the court's written opinion in this week's edition of Court Watch.
The majority refers to the sentence as life imprisonment without parole. The dissent refers to the sentence as death in prison. So you see the use of rhetoric in the law, depending on how you characterize this, indicates how you might feel about it. Both of them are accurate, but they each have different emotional baggage that come along with it.
Ninnem initially argued that sentencing a 14-year-old boy to life without parole is unconstitutional and, at the very least, unduly harsh and extreme.
The court is faced with the question of what is cruel and unusual punishment. And the United States Supreme Court has ruled that a punishment is cruel and unusual within the meaning of the Eighth Amendment if it's a mode of punishment that was considered to be cruel and unusual at the time the Bill of Rights was adopted in 1791, or if the punishment is inconsistent with evolving standards of decency that mark the progress of a maturing society. So if the situation falls into either one of these two, it's cruel and unusual. Now, the Wisconsin court then applied this test, and it found that the sentencing of a 14-year-old to life without parole was not considered cruel and unusual in 1791. Why was that? Well, it was because at common law, children 7 and older who committed a crime were subject to the exact same penalties as an adult. And the death penalty could be imposed for a crime by a child as young as 7 years old.
And what about those evolving standards of decency?
The court found that there was no national consensus against sentencing a 14-year-old to life without parole for committing an intentional homicide. And why did they reach that? Well, they discovered that 44 states sanction life without parole for children 14 years and older for homicide. So they concluded from that there is no national consensus.
Other factors include the nature of the crime and culpability of the offender, goals of retribution, deterrence, and incapacitation, or simply getting the worst offender off of the street. McGee says the Wisconsin court found that the sentence had met all of those tests.
Ninnem was blamable enough to support his sentence. The court also found that his sentence met the legitimate goals of retribution, deterrence, and incapacitation. The trial court actually found him forever dangerous. It did not think that he could turn his character around.
But let me ask you about this. When it comes to the original incident, Mr. Ninnem, he wasn't the actual instigator of the bullying incident. It was his buddy Richard Poe.
Crapo, right.
Why did Ninnem get the harsher sentence when Crapo evidently received possibility of parole with his sentence?
Yeah. Crapole received a life sentence with the possibility of parole after 50 years. And I think the difference lies in that factor of incapacitation. I think that with Crapole, the trial court found that there was a possibility that he could reform himself. The problem with Ninnem was that the court found that wasn't the case. And there's some factors that influenced him on that. One of them was his outbursts in court. Another one was that he threatened the witnesses and their families and the sister of one of the four other juveniles that were at the scene of the crime. And I think he focused on those and concluded that he was going to be, as he said, forever dangerous. That's the only distinction between those two individuals.
Even though there's been some suggestion now that perhaps an adolescent's brain is perhaps not quite as developed as 13, 14 years old as maybe as a young adult when they're 27 and perhaps he did not deserve such a harsh punishment for that particular crime at that age?
That was an argument that was made by Needham's attorneys, and the court said that's true, but given the nature of this crime, he is still blamable enough to support this sentence, given the horrific circumstances surrounding this crime. And because it was so senseless, because it was so horrific, the court said, we can't find his sentence was disproportionate to the crime. His second argument was that regardless of whether the Eighth Amendment categorically prohibited his kind of sentence, that it was an unduly harsh sentence. And again, the court focused on the characteristic of the crime, that it was senseless, it was horrific, and it was not disproportionate to the circumstances surrounding the crime and the actual crime itself.
It's kind of a subjective boundary, though, determining what is cruel and unusual, and it kind of depends on the crime and the circumstances. It's not something that you can find by some sort of hard and fast rule.
Exactly, and one of the prongs of that test is the court exercises its independent judgment. So there is always going to be an element of subjectivity when you talk about an independent judgment. You're independent of what? You're independent of society's notions of what's cruel and unusual.
Local attorney Jack McGee with this week's edition of Court Watch, a weekly feature on Morning Edition.